Born in the grip of oppression, I fought for my liberty. I paid with the blood of my people. Freedom has never been free. Now my door's always open to dreamers and friends. But when I'm attacked, I protect and defend. Because my name is America, I stand proud and
welcome
free.
Everyone, and might I say, I hope you have an absolutely wonderful 2022, and let us make this the year of action. Sitting on the sidelines and watching our country being taken over and overrun by a bunch of, I don't even know what to call them anymore, because they are acting so irrational. What they're saying makes absolutely no sense at all. And it is totally evident that these people want to destroy America and everything America stands for. Hello, folks. Happy New Year. This is Karen Schoen. You're listening to The Prism of America's Education, brought to you on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network with my wonderful sponsor, the Florida Citizens Alliance. I have a special treat today. I asked a friend, Alex Newman, to come and share this first show of the new year with me. And Alex has a lot to talk about. He is an incredible author, journalist, researcher. It is wonderful to be able to know him and work with him, and I really do appreciate it. Alex, I was listening to Tucker, and he made a really interesting comment, which I thought ties right back to the school. We are watching a bunch of uneducated people who are just being driven 100% by emotion. And there's very little factual information that goes with anything that is said. I agree with him. These people are now terrified of nothing more really than a common cold, maybe a few degrees stronger. But if you take care of yourselves, nothing will happen. Force people again into mask wearing and lockdowns over this just shows me that these people are terrified and they're haters. And I'm going to borrow a sentence from Tucker. And he said, terrified people should never be in charge of anything. I happen to agree with that. What do you think, Alex? And welcome to the show.
Well, thank you so much for having me on the program, Karen. I really appreciate the opportunity to come on and chat with you. I think what they're doing is what every dictatorship of the last 100 years has done, and that is deliberately try to spread terror and fear, because they know that people are much more apt to make dumb decisions. They know that people are much more susceptible to arguments in favor of giving up their liberties and their rights when they're scared. Actually, this came up at the Nuremberg trials, you know, when the Nazi war criminals were being prosecuted. This works the same in every country. It doesn't matter what form of government has. If you keep the people scared, they'll do what you say. And I think that's what we're seeing. I don't truly believe that the ruling class is afraid of anything. They have parties and they don't wear masks. They're not getting these ridiculous vaccines. We saw Obama's silly birthday bash. You know, there was, what, two people there wearing a mask? These people at the top of the pyramid, so-called, they know better than to be afraid of this virus. I think, you know, it was engineered in a laboratory. They were hoping it would be much more deadly. But they want us to be terrified. And they do have a lot of their useful idiots in Congress. They have a lot of their useful idiots in state governments and even local governments. And of course, the 12 people that still watch CNN, these people are still in a tizzy. And to rule by fear is incredibly, incredibly dangerous, Karen. And it suggests to me that the motivations here, the motives are very, very evil, especially when you look at the data and you see that, you know, for most people, as you pointed out, COVID is really a nothing burger. My whole family had COVID. It really was no big deal at all. We got it early on, back when it was supposedly even more deadly. We lost our sense of smell for a couple of days and we were fine. So they want us terrified for obvious reasons.
Yes, it's easier to control people who are terrified. And that's really what I believe this is all about. Alex, I know that you are doing a big show in the new year about China. Can you share that with us? And can you tell us where we can find it so that we can participate and watch?
Yeah, well, thank you, Karen. And so this is actually going to be through Chris Wright's Anti-Communism Action Team. They're going to be doing a series of webinars. I believe it's going to be in May, if I'm not mistaken. So we've got a little while, but he's got some wonderful experts on this subject lined up. My area of focus for these discussions is going to be China's domination. And when I say domination, I'm not exaggerating, of the architecture of global governance. They have their minions running more UN agencies than any other government on the planet. They control right now about one third of the UN's specialized agencies, with an actual communist Chinese member of the Communist Chinese Party running the UN agency. For perspective, out of the 15 UN agencies, only one is run by an American, the World Food Program, a rather inconsequential agency. You see, they've got their minions everywhere, Karen, in Interpol. Later this year, I think in May, Chris Wright and his Anti-Communism Action Team are working on a series of video lectures involving China. He's got some wonderful experts who will be participating in this. And my area of focus is going to be communist Chinese domination of the architecture of global governance. And when I say domination, I'm not exaggerating at all. To give you just a sense of this, out of 15 specialized UN agencies, actual members of the Communist Party of China, Chinese nationals, control the highest leadership position, one third of them. And for perspective, an American controls one of those 15 agencies, and it's a rather inconsequential one, the World Food Program. So we have a very serious problem. You've got more Chinese soldiers in the UN's peacekeeping force than any other nation. You've got Interpol, you've got the IMF, you've got all these critical international institutions, critical from the globalist perspective of building this world system that they're talking about, literally run by members of the most murderous, the most brutal, the most savage political party slash government to have existed in all of human history. There's no other government that has murdered more people than the communist dictatorship enslaving the people of China. None. There's not even a close second. I mean, they've murdered more than 100 million, not even including the unborn babies and the forced abortions. These are absolute barbarians, and yet they run the architecture of global governance. So that's what I'll be talking about. I've done a lot of articles on this over the last couple of years in the New American Magazine and also in the Epoch Times. So I hope it'll be useful to people. And this is such a serious problem, Karen. I can't overemphasize how serious this is.
What we're seeing now is a communist Chinese takeover of the world as we sit back and allow them to do that, which is basically what we're allowing them to do. You mentioned that the Chinese run all of these agencies, and that sparked a little question in my head, which is, who's paying for all of this? Because I believe that America is the biggest payee to all of these UN programs, even though President Trump took us out of UNESCO, which is the education arm of the UN. It has not done anything, and America is still paying and paying and paying, while China is reaping the reward. Is that not true?
That's exactly correct. And if you look at UNESCO, UNESCO is one of the agencies that is not technically run by a member of the Communist Party of China, but all of the key operations are run by members of the Communist Party of China, including, by the way, on the education front. And they're bragging on UNESCO's website and on the Communist Chinese government's websites about how Communist Chinese agents have been the drivers of the global standards, of the global curricula, of the global education programs coming out of the UN Education, Scientific, and Cultural Agency, the UNESCO. So extremely dangerous. And I would say it's even worse, Karen, than people realize. It's not just that we're letting this happen. That would be bad enough. If Beijing Biden was just allowing all of this to happen. But it's even worse than that, if you can believe it. These people are not just letting it happen. They are helping it happen. They are betraying their own countries. And it's not just Americans. It's also Western Europeans, Canadians, Japanese. They are deliberately enabling and aiding and abetting the rise of communist China to a position of global preeminence. And if they don't end up as the world's sole superpower, they will certainly be right up there. And if you listen to what the globalists say, I mean, they describe what they're building as a multipolar new world order, as contrasted with the current order, which is unipolar because the United States kind of dominates, or at least used to. This new order that they're building will have communist China in the driver's seat. But I think the critical thing to understand here, Karen, is that the relationship between the communist Chinese and what I call the deep state, or even the deep state behind the deep state here in the United States, is fundamental to all of this. It wouldn't be happening if the billionaire elitists, the Rockefellers of the world, the George Soroses of the world, these uber elites were not making it happen. And I think that's critical to understanding this.
And I also believe, I mean, I know that you are 100% right, but all of this is involved with money. And Bill Clinton, to me, was the one that really turned China around when he, quote, sold our technology to China as his parting gift for leaving office. So he gave China the technology that they needed to become a superpower. And then it was helped by American corporations going to China. Is that not true?
That is absolutely true, Karen. And it goes back even further than that. One of the most important books on this subject, going back to the even to the late 1940s and early 1950s, is it's called Again, May God Forgive Us. And it's about how key globalists here in the United States, especially members of the Council on Foreign Relations, people like George Marshall, who at various times served as Secretary of State and also Secretary of Defense, deliberately, and I mean deliberately, handed that vast empire, what is today communist China, to the communists. They betrayed our ally, Chiang Kai-shek, who fought side by side with us in World War II, actually fought side by side with my granddaddy in World War II against the Japanese. We stuck a knife, I shouldn't say we, because we didn't do it, but George Marshall and other globalists in Washington, D.C. and on Wall Street stuck a knife in our ally's back. They actually put an arms embargo on him and handed power over to Mao Zedong on purpose. And then if you look at every step of the way, these subversive forces have been building up communist China. And it's not like it's been a conspiracy, because a conspiracy by definition requires secrecy. These maniacs have been bragging about this. David Rockefeller went over there in the early 1970s, and you can find on the New York Times website to this day, the op-ed that he wrote when he got back. It was published on, I think, August 10th of 1973. He wrote an op-ed called From a China Traveler. And he concluded in this op-ed that the social experiment, as he called it, in China under the leadership of Chairman Mao is the most important and successful in all of human history. At that point, tens of millions of people had been slaughtered. Statues had been torn down. Libraries had been torched. The nation was enslaved. What kind of a psychopath would call that successful experiment? And yet, at every step of the way, then you mentioned Bill Clinton. He handed over all of our most sensitive military technology to them, to the point where the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Admiral Thomas Moore, publicly spoke out and said, look, this guy just betrayed the most sensitive thermonuclear secrets that our military has to probably the premier threat to the national security of the United States. And that continues to this day, Karen, with the Biden clan and the Clintons and the Bushes.
So they're still doing the same thing, even though the American people are suffering. They really don't care. And I guess we should take a look at the demographics of China to understand that in China, there are only two groups of people. Either you are part of the party and you have it, or you are not part of the party and you are subject to slavery and winding up in a gulag. So this is what they are envisioning to come to America as they eliminate the middle class. This is a goal of communism, is it not?
That's exactly right, Karen. That's what we're seeing right now. We're watching the Chinization of the United States and the world. And just exactly how you said, you're eliminating the middle class. You're creating the uber elites, people like Jeff Bezos, who was just exposed, incidentally, cooperating closely with communist China. You're creating this super elite class of party members, party loyalists, people who are loyal to the agenda, and then everybody else. And if you want to know what this new order that they're building looks like, communist China gives you a really, really good sneak preview, right? Total surveillance, absolutely no freedom, social credit scores, so that if you think wrong things, if you're friends with people who think the wrong things, you will be denied privileges like travel, like a decent job, like all the things that you know we've taken for granted here in America, the freedom to get an education, all these types of things. It's just unbelievable what's happening, but it is happening, and it's happening with the deliberate support of our ruling class. And I think the perfect example of this right now, Karen, is what's going on in the climate change fraud. I've been going to these climate change meetings as a reporter for over a decade now. And what they're doing You can sum it up very simply. It has nothing whatsoever to do with climate. Climate is just the justification for the useful idiots to have some reason why they need to support this. But they are destroying our manufacturing. They're shipping our productive capacity over to China. They are building up China's economy. So they're saying because of global warming, America has to shut down energy production. America has to shut down its power grid. America has to make its electric costs far more expensive than they are. Meanwhile, the Chinese are building coal-fired power plants faster than we can count them. This is a deliberate agenda. They want to build up communist China. They want to deindustrialize and impoverish the United States. And that's where they're going. And they're doing it right in everybody's face.
Boy, are they ever. And not only in climate change, Alex, I read an article that the Pentagon is now going to punish soldiers for looking at the wrong information on the internet. So our soldiers, instead of protecting our country, which is the sole job of our soldiers, are now going to be punished if they think differently? How is that possible?
It's absolutely what's going on. It's just funny you mentioned that, Karen, because just yesterday I was talking to a commander in the U.S. military who was relieved of his command because he spoke out about the Marxist brainwashing of his men. And he explained to me, look, they were teaching these guys to hate their country. They were teaching them that America is systemically racist and it's built on a foundation of injustice. He said he had guys coming to him who just didn't want to serve anymore. They're like, you know, why should I defend this evil, horrible country? And he said he spoke out about it. He said, this is a threat to our national security. You guys are endangering our country by turning our troops against the country they're supposed to be defending. And for that, he was relieved of his command by the Biden regime. So we're seeing a purge right now in the military of anybody with common sense. They've already purged the upper leadership. It began in earnest under Obama. He got rid of hundreds of patriotic, God-fearing generals and admirals and replaced them with a bunch of stooges who are willing to go along with this agenda. So America is in incredible danger. If we don't get this turned around, you know, it's a real question as to whether America will survive as a free society into the future.
I could not agree more. And that is why more than ever, it is so important that the truth get out there. And I believe that this has started in our elementary schools, so that by the time a young person decides they want to be part of the military, they are already coached in what they should be believing in. So coming up with these statements about how awful America is nothing new to them. They're just carrying on what they learned in school. And of course, if you learn it in school, it has to be correct. I really think that this is where all of this is coming from. I know you've done a lot of research on education. What do you think, Alex?
Yeah, in my opinion, Karen, public education, the government school system, is the primary mechanism by which they're driving our country over the cliff. Yes, it's bad that they're brainwashing our troops. Yes, it's bad that they're shutting down the U.S. economy so that production can be picked back up in communist China with slave labor. But the worst, the most offensive thing that's going on right now is the relentless, horrific indoctrination and radicalization and sexualization of our children. They are turning our children into revolutionaries who are ready to burn down their country, burn down their families, burn down their churches and their synagogues and the Constitution and the liberties that it protects. They're doing this deliberately. They're doing it strategically. And at the same time, they're dumbing down these kids to the point where they wouldn't recognize a logical argument or legitimate evidence if it was a snake and it bit them in the face. Right? They're just completely clueless. They've been trained using typical animal behavioral psychological conditioning methods. And it's at the point now where the kids are like Pavlov's dogs, right? They hear the code words and they start salivating, and they're just impervious to arguments based on logic or reason or evidence. They've been actually conditioned to believe that evidence and reason and even mathematics are white supremacy. And so you can't get through to these people. It's like a very dangerous cult. And when you realize these are the people who are going to be running our companies, our armed services, our governments, all of the institutions of our society within a generation, you realize we are standing at the edge of a cliff here that is unprecedented in all of our history. We are at a crucial moment in time, and If people don't get involved, if people don't deal with this, I think we're going to be facing a cataclysm.
Well, I think that right now the American people are beginning to realize what's going on and pay attention to what's going on in their schools. Of course, as a former teacher, seeing what's going on, the best advice I can give to any parent is to get your kid out of that school. Don't allow the government to control your child, because that is exactly what will happen. They will turn into robots that are solely trained to act on emotion. And just like Alex said, they'll hear a word, they'll hear a comment, all of a sudden they'll go off on a tangent and have a temper tantrum. And the temper tantrum is pick up a gun, pick up a knife, do something like that. It's not going to work out well in the end, because what has happened, if you think of the brain as a file cabinet and the drawers in the file cabinet open and close as you use them, and the human being can only think about one thought at a time. So if your file cabinet is always open to emotion and never open to logic and reason, what happens to logic and reason? You are incapable of logic and reason. And that's really what all a school is supposed to do, is teach people how to use the skill to decipher logic and reason so that in their lives they can make the right choice. Well, there is no right choice now. It's only going to be the government choice. Isn't that true, Alex?
That's exactly where this is headed, Karen. Our freedoms, if we continue to allow this, will become increasingly restricted. To the point where, I mean, now they're trying to tell us what we can eat, where we can live, how we can think, what we can say. What they want to control what we can read, right? We have Google manipulating what information we can access. We have little fascists like Mark Zuckerberg and that clown running Twitter deciding that we're not allowed to access this information because our sensitive little brains can't be allowed to see that. It's the danger inherent in this is so enormous, Karen. And you're right. It means the end of individual liberty if this continues. And I would encourage folks to think about the consequences of that. It's not just that you'll be a slave. It's not just that you won't have freedom. All the blessings that come with individual liberty, like the prosperity that we've come to enjoy, the peace that we've come to enjoy in this country. You can walk down the streets and not have to worry about being robbed or shot or killed or whatever. You don't have to have bars on your windows like they have everywhere else in the world. All of that will go too as we move into an increasingly totalitarian society. This stuff is, it's not a joke. It's very, very serious.
No, and if we remember what Obama said when he was in Kenya talking to the university graduates, he told them, don't even think that you're going to have air conditioning in cars like in America. And the minute he said that, that was the clue that I said, oh, this is what they're going to try to wipe out. They don't want Americans to be prosperous, because if the rest of the world looked and saw what Americans have, oh my goodness, they would want it also. And that would be a no-no if you are a communist. Remember, communists allow absolutely no competition and they allow no opposition. Why? Because everything that they're saying is really built on lies. There isn't anything, I have yet to find anything that they have said, whether it's about COVID, whether it's about the climate, whether it's about critical race theory not being in our schools, which it is. If you listen to what they're saying, you can absolutely understand where they are heading. And that is what is so important. And that's why it's so important that today, more than ever, we get involved. And that's why I keep on saying, let 2022 be the year of action. Because if we sit around on the sidelines and do nothing and allow this to evolve, what future does America have? And I would have to say none, because not only will it not be like Europe, which at least there was some freedom, it'll be like communist China, or maybe the masks will become permanent like those burkas. That's where they're headed. They don't want people to have conversations. They don't want people to talk, because if you talk, you question, and you're not allowed to question anything that the government says or does. So instead of our rights being granted by God, our creator, we have our rights being issued by the government, our dictator. That's a horrible way to live. So what advice can you give our audience, Alex, that they can do? What can me, an individual all by myself, what can I do?
Well, I would say, Karen, for the most important thing for a parent is, as you pointed out, get your children a real education. And by definition today, that means outside of the public school system. What's going on in the public school system is it should not even be compared to education. They're completely different animals. They're not even in the same category. And so for parents, I would say the most important and valuable thing you can do for the cause of liberty, for the future of this country, is to make sure your children get a good education. And today that means either finding a very good private school or homeschooling. I mean, those are unfortunately your only two options today. You can't keep expecting to give your kids to the government and expect that they're going to get a decent education, that they're going to be taught how to think. You can't even expect that they're going to come home literate. In fact, the government shows they're more likely to come home illiterate than literate. So, you got to get your kids out. I would say also, we as adults, we need to educate ourselves. And once we as adults are educated, we need to start educating the people in our community. We need to talk to our neighbors. We need to talk to our friends. We need to be talking to people at church or at synagogue or wherever it is that you have community. Because these are people who don't know, many of them, what's going on because they still haven't quite put the pieces together, but you can help that process. And I think if there's going to be any chance of turning this around, it's going to have to come from an educated electorate. There is no magic bullet. There's no silver bullet that's going to fix these problems. And I tell people, suppose we could get rid of Nancy Pelosi tomorrow, somehow we get her impeached or we get her removed or something. Who do you think the people in her district are going to elect come 2022, another radical, extremist, anti-American lunatic, just like Nancy Pelosi. So the only way to get out of this mess that we find ourselves in is to improve the electorate. And we do that by educating our fellow citizens and ensuring that our children are getting a good education.
Alex, you homeschooled, and I hear a lot from parents, and they tell me when I ask them if their child can read, they say, oh, no, we're going to send them to school and they'll learn to read. That is absolutely not true. What age did you start reading with your children?
My wife and I have never pressured any of our children to start reading. We just wait until they express an interest, which typically comes around age four, some of the later ones, age five. But, there's a tool that we use. I cannot recommend it highly enough. It's called Alpha Phonics. And there are other great ones. We've just used Alpha Phonics with each of the kids. And by the time they're 6, 7 years old, they should be able to read the King James Version of the Bible almost flawlessly. It's that simple. In a matter of a few months, it's an idiot-proof program. And I tell people, if you allow the government to teach your children how to read, your children are not going to learn how to read properly. In fact, they're going to join the ranks of America's illiterate or at least reading disabled. And this is by design. It's not because your first grader, your second grade teacher understands what's going on here. It's because this is the way they were trained. I wrote a whole book on this, Karen, with Dr. Sam Blumenfeld, Crimes of the Educators. We showed that there was a deliberate plan to turn Americans into illiterates. And we're seeing that plan come to fruition. The government's own data shows that they have been incredibly successful, but you can protect your children from that simply by teaching them to read with actual systematic intensive phonics.
Absolutely. And let's remember, and this will be my parting word for this segment, don't go away, but let's remember what Frederick Douglass said. A man that cannot read is forever a slave. If you want your children to ignorantly follow along to get along, don't teach them to read. If you want your child to exceed farther than your expectations, they have to learn to read. And as a former math teacher, they need to learn math too. And no, math is not racist. That is one of their tools that they are using just to divide people and to bring up more anytime they can call something a white supremacist or anything like that. This is what they do. Don't touch that dial. Don't touch that screen. Don't go anyplace. Stay right there. We'll be right back. This is Karen Schoen. You're listening to the Prism of America's Education, and we are brought to you live on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network with my wonderful sponsor, the Florida Citizens Alliance. Thank you so much for joining me, Alex. And this was such a wonderful conversation. Please tell me you'll come back again.
I would love to. Thank you so much for having me, Karen. Really appreciate all that you're doing. Keep up the great work, and I look forward to talking to you soon.
Okay. Thank you, everyone. Don't go away.
Because of COVID-19, many Americans worry about their health 4 times a day. That's 112 times per month. But by simply keeping our immune system strong, we can stay healthy and put our worries at ease. One little known way to do this is by taking AC11, a patented supplement from a plant in the Amazon rainforest. Studied for over 20 years and backed by over 40 scientific peer-reviewed studies, taking AC11 has been proven to extend the life of immune cells called leukocytes, allowing you to boost immunity naturally. Go to healthycell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of AC11. That's healthycell.com, HEALTHYCELL, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Liberty and the pursuit of 2022 is upon us. Happy New Year, my fellow Americans. It was Bill Vong who reminded us, an optimist stays up until midnight to see the new year in. A pessimist stays up to make sure the old year leaves. Here's to all being an optimist. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Everyone, this is Karen Shaw, and you're listening to the Prism of America's Education, and we are brought to you on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network with my wonderful sponsor, the Florida Citizens Alliance. Please go to the Florida Citizens Alliance website. You will find a wealth of information, including our latest report on the pornography that you will be able to find in your schools. We have found a multitude of this pornography in Florida schools. So you can rest assured, if they are in Florida schools, they are in your schools as well. If we are not the warriors to protect our children, who will be? Because this administration has our children in their sights, and that is something that is unacceptable and should be unacceptable to all of us. Why are we? I don't even have children in school, but my question is, why am I spending money so that my school children, my dollars are going to educate children to hate their own country, to hate their parents, to hate their neighbors? That is totally unacceptable. Well, we're going to do something a little bit different today, and I have invited a gentleman who has become a friend after I saw his absolutely wonderful podcast, and I want to talk about solutions. So I have asked Jim Stroud to come and join me today because he also is focused on solutions. Hi, Jim. Thank you and welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Jim, I have been listening to people for the last, I would say, 10 years. But what is happening is people say, this is a problem, this is a problem, this is a problem, this is a problem. So we are inundated with all of these problems. And nobody says, this is what you can do about it. I believe that one of our most important missions as purveyors of the truth warriors, are not only to ring the bell on what are the lies, but to also come up with what we can do about it. What do you think, Jim?
Most definitely. And there's a lot that people can do. I think what slows people's progress from doing something is, one, assuming that somebody else is doing it. They'll say, well, we will sit back and see what this influencer has to say. And then we'll nod our head along with whatever that influencer says. And then we'll go back to sleep, resting in the belief that someone else is taking care of the problem for us instead of taking ownership. And that's one thing. Another thing I think that makes people hesitant to get involved with a solution is because they don't want to risk their necks, so to speak. They don't want to be the focus of the media. They don't want to be the person up front. And they figure that if they're not the person up front, then they're not doing anything. To those who have that kind of mindset, I would say, hey, think about your gallbladder. When's the last time you thought about your gallbladder? You probably never think about your gallbladder. But if something goes wrong with that gallbladder, then it's on your mind. You don't have to be front and center to make a significant difference. You just have to be active. And in a lot of ways, you can sort of still stay invisible. So I'm talk about ways you can be active and still stay somewhat invisible in case you are afraid of being in front of the camera, so to speak, or in case you're not a person to pick up a sign and march in front of a state capitol or something like that. I was jotting down some different ideas of what action items people can do. Actually, they could do from home. Actually, they could do while they're listening to this podcast. The first thing is research an issue. I think people will be surprised at how little politicians know about different topics, which is why lobbyists make so much money. They fly in, they take the politician out to dinner or whatever, bribe them, well, educate them. Yeah. Educate them on a topic and say, you know what? This is why we think this issue is important. And this is why if you vote a certain way, we will support you. We'll endorse you in the next election, you know, whatever. So one thing people can do right off is just to research an issue, not just rely on the talking points that you may hear in the media here and there, but actually take some time just to actually research an issue.
Jim, you're absolutely right, because that will give you the in-depth knowledge to be able to get past the talking points as you're listening to the talking points. And then you can go back and question the person that has made those talking points in what you have learned, because that's the best way to expose them, is to expose them by using the truth and asking them questions about it. Exactly. And we don't do that.
Exactly. I mean, you could say illegal immigration is bad. And you can say it's bad. But if someone says why, and you can't really answer that question, then although you may be correct, you don't really have a good position to stand on. And people may perceive you as just a critic or nuts because you can't substantiate your argument. So researching an issue is very important in that regard.
It is. Not only that, folks, it gives you an in-depth knowledge, and then you become secure in your answers. And when I was training my sales force, I used to tell them, an expert is only somebody who is 50 miles away from their home with an attaché case. Because nobody knows what you know. And if you become the expert, trust me, they are not. Look at where these people are coming from. They're certainly not coming from any place that would make them an expert. The majority of them have never even had a job. They've never had a real job. They're busy living off of the government. And that is not that to me is not a real job. You're not going out, you're not hustling, you're not working. You know, every single week you got a paycheck, no matter what you say or do. Well, before you elect that person, if you immerse yourself in the truth, then you can sit down and have a conversation with that potential candidate and enlighten them, because the majority of them, they don't even read the Constitution, Jim. They don't even know what they're fighting for. How can you elect people that have no idea of what is even in the Constitution?
And, you know, this is something, too, that slips under people's radar. Maybe they're not aware of it. I remember I did some research on this, which is how I know. If someone wants to know something, the reflex is, you know what, I'll just Google it, you know, and I do a search on Google, and whatever Google brings me back, I'm going to assume that it's correct. Because a lot of people think of Google as a big free encyclopedia, and it's not. I did some research on this, and there are plenty of other people who did some research on this. Depending on the topic that you are searching, Google can influence your thinking. So, for example, if you were to do this, this is the research I did when I was looking into it. So if I did a search on the phrase, say, Muslim ban, for example, right? I did it on Google. All of the results I would get back would be that the Muslim ban is racist and that it's evil and it's not right for Trump to ban Muslims from certain countries, even though Obama did exactly the same thing. It's somehow evil when Trump did it. When I look at those results, I look at where they're from. And the majority of the results, actually all the, just not all the results, maybe one, were from left-leaning publications. So if I look up a politically charged term and Google automatically sends me results from the Washington Post or CNN or MSNBC and a bunch of other left-leaning or very hard left-leaning sources, then I'm going to think, well, this must be the right way to think because I did the research and this is supposedly unbiased research coming from Google, but it's not unbiased. It's coming from left-leaning sources. So I would tell people that when they're researching an issue, sure, look, use Google as a good search engine, but don't rely on that. I mean, my favorite search engine these days is DuckDuckGo. I like that. The results are really good. And they don't have the bias of coming from certain resources as a way of affecting your opinion. So.
And how true that is. And Google is not the only platform that does exactly the same thing. If we really, truly want to do something about it, then everybody should not be using Google. They shouldn't be using Facebook. They shouldn't be using Twitter. They should be using platforms that specifically say, we show all, we tell all, we don't censor anybody. And this way you get a well-rounded feeling and opinion and facts of what is actually going on. Because even sometimes the right may even be wrong. Oh my goodness, I didn't really say that. But on occasion, we have come up with ridiculous things as well. And if we don't see the other person's side, you never have a well-rounded opinion. And that's what really school and education is supposed to be able to give you, that tool, so that when you have a problem, when you have an issue, you have the ability to read multiple sources and make your own opinion. And sadly, I think that has gone away. Too many people can't do that anymore. And this is where we have to come in with our expert knowledge and help mm-hmm. them, not yell at them, not scream at them, but help them. And I like to help them by asking them questions. I think that's the easiest way to start the conversation. What do you think, Jim?
Most definitely. Most definitely. There is a resource I want to recommend to people to sort of check out. It's called All Sides, which is ALLSIDES.com, allsides.com. What it does is it shows you the media perspective on different items. So if you did a search on immigration, it'll say, okay, these are what the left-leaning sites are saying about immigration. So here's some links there. And this is what the right-leaning websites are saying about immigration. Click here. And here's a list of a mix of all the results if you want to look at it that way. And so in addition to that, it also tells you which media platforms lean left, which ones lean right. So you can either look at how they are gathering the information and presenting it, or you may want to go there directly to the different outlets yourself. But I think it'll be surprising to a lot of people who just take the news as being gospel, which I definitely recommend you do not. All Sides will show you how different newspapers, different media outlets will give you completely different takes on the same topic just because they have very different worldviews. So allsides.com is one I definitely say check out.
I will put that in the newsletter. I think that is a fabulous resource, and it should definitely be used. And that is what we need to help us communicate. I always say we hear the saying that says knowledge is power. Yes, knowledge is power, but only if you apply it. If you don't share that knowledge and all you do is keep it to yourself, who benefits? Yes, you benefit, but no one else will benefit. So the idea, once you have learned what the truth is to be able to share that knowledge. And you don't want to share it on a platform that will censor you anytime you give the wrong opinion. That's not the way a platform should work. So I would suggest that you look at other platforms like Rumble, like Getter, mm-hmm. like
Gab.
Gab
is one.
Mm-hmm. Gab, yes. And Telegram. And yep. Start getting away from the people who want to destroy you. Why would you want to feed them? Why would you want to give them information? Why would you want to give them money? Because every time you make a click, don't they get paid, Jim?
Yeah, and that's a big motivation for them to censor and to promote one particular narrative. Look at one good example of this. You look at CNN. Their ratings were high when Trump was in office because all they were doing for the most part was bashing Trump. But with Trump out of office, they have been shown to be somewhat of a one-trick pony. I saw this article just yesterday that showed that their ratings dropped 70% since January. I mean, it's hard for them to get viewership, to get more than a million viewers on a CNN program in prime time. There are people on the right that'll get that on a YouTube channel easily. And CNN and MSNBC. MSNBC lost 60% of their audience when Trump was out of office, because all they were doing was saying Trump bad, orange man bad. But that was directing the clicks. That was feeding the machine. People would click on it, those who wanted to hate Trump and wanted to find out what the latest reason to hate him. And they would write these stories that would attract that kind of traffic, which would also elevate their ratings. So without their boogeyman, there was nothing else for them to really talk about. And people left. You know, they saw the propaganda, or, you know, they went to get their hate Trump fix elsewhere. It's remarkable.
And I think they have turned their boogeyman into directing it at we the people.
Yes.
As they are going after the unvaccinated.
Mm-hmm.
And it really disturbs me to see what's going on in Europe and to think what goes on in Europe usually winds up in America about 6 months later.
Mm.
So is this what we are going to have to look forward to? Well, we certainly are if we don't do something about it. And in the COVID area, one of the things that we can do is they're forcing these absurd mandates for masks and vaccines is to ask them to, where's the science? Where's the science that backs up what you're saying? You want me to take a vaccine? You want me to put this thing in my body? Where is your science that backs it up? And if we start doing that, I think that will make a big impression, because there is no science, which means there is no truth. And the whole purpose of science is to expose all sides. Science is never settled, and we should never accept that as being settled. As each of our bodies are different, science, vaccines act differently for each of us. So some may have an adverse reaction. Why would you want to do that to yourself? But if you don't know the truth and you cannot explain it, and then you can't hold somebody else accountable for it. So the most important thing I would think is Jim is right. We have to learn the truth. So now what we know the truth, Jim, where do we go from here? How do I get to talk to other people and get that message out? Where do I go? Because nobody wants to talk to me anymore.
Well, another thing that I suggest people do, actually number two on my list here, is to research where candidates and opponents are on that issue. So if I wanted someone to champion building a border wall, for example, you know, someone that comes to mind may be Marjorie Taylor Greene, you know, because she's out there a lot in the media. And there are other politicians that are out there a lot in the media, like Rand Paul, for example, whose feud with Fauci is legendary at this point. So these people come immediately to mind because they're in the news a lot. But they are not the only politicians out there. And if you were to research someone's voting record and see where they have voted over time, you'll be able to say, you know what, this politician over here is voting, I think, along the right conservative guidelines that I would want them to vote on. This person is considered an ally to me because of their voting record. Let me reach out to them and see if I can convince them to maybe write a bill or sponsor a bill or something to try to make some kind of change. In addition to researching an issue, look at where the candidates are based on their voting records. Don't go by what they always say on their campaign ads. Look at how many times they voted present as opposed to actually taking a stand on something. And then you might be surprised to find people that you can approach or connect with because they're voting the right way, but also because they're not big media darlings and they're easier to connect with or contact than, say, a Rand Paul or Marjorie Taylor Greene or someone else who's like that.
Exactly. And don't feel ever that they are more important than you. They are exactly equal to you. They're not any better. They're not any worse. And I am always respectful when I talk to them, but I talk to them in the same language they talk to me. If they call me Karen, I call them Marco. If they call me Miss Schoen, I would call him Mr. Rubio. But I'm not going to elevate him and get him to think that senator is more important than being the person who elected him to get to be senator. We can't fall into that trap. And I always tell everybody, if you're nervous, if you're afraid to talk to your politician, and this is the beginning of your career of doing that, then try calling them in the middle of the night and leave a message on their answering machine when nobody is there. You can get the same message across, but you don't have to talk to anybody. And you have to remember that every single phone call that you make, when their aide comes in the morning, they sit with a pad and they go yay and nay. And they just go through all the phone calls to see how many people are in favor of whatever it is they want to do and how many people are against. And they take each phone call as a representative of 100 people. So think about how important you are when you call and you make that decision over something that you have learned.
I like that.
It's one of the most important things that we can do. I have my representatives on my speed dial on my phone. When I call them, and I say, hello, Brad. He says, hello, Karen. How are you doing? That's the kind of relationship that you want to have. They're not, they're not from another planet. They're not special. They're just the same as we are. Unfortunately, we have elevated them into some status that makes us think that they're untouchable, but they certainly are not.
I like that. It's actually a variation of my third point, which is inform these candidates, the ones that are on your side, as you've concluded that are on your side, because you looked at their voting record. Create what I would call an amicus brief. That's when you write up a report, or maybe not even something as formal as a report, but maybe just a letter saying, hey, I believe you should vote a certain way on this issue because of point one, point two, point three. And then you email that to the politician, or you leave them a voicemail with that to the politician. And not only that, I would take it even a step further, because the politicians would be the ultimate goal. But also, I would look at the people that they pay attention to, which may be talk radio, find out different influencers like Karen and others who have the ear of the public that politicians pay attention to as well, and say, hey, send an email to Karen, say, hey, Karen, do you know about this particular issue? Here's point one, point two, and point three. I think that's something you may want to talk about on your show. And Karen may say, you know what? That's a very interesting point. I think I will bring that up on my show. And there you go. She's talking about it. And maybe she's not, the politician isn't listening at that very moment, but maybe someone in his or her orbit, the orbit of the politician is. And even if not, if you get enough people talking about an issue, it becomes a major issue. And then it's like the politicians feel like they have to talk about it because so many other people are talking about it at that time, and they want to feel connected to their constituency. Because if they're connected to their constituency, they will get reelected. Politicians love power. So overall, so they want to make sure they're connected to their audience. So, yeah.
Yes, they love power. And what we have to do is stop giving it to them without oversight.
Yes.
That's our biggest flaw. We say, here, solve that problem. And then we are unhappy that they don't solve it, or they solve it in a way that is more harmful than the actual problem. Because their motivation too often is not to protect we the people. Their motivation is to always get reelected. I was told by one of my favorite senators, he said, Karen, this was when I was new to this. And he said, Karen, let me tell you something. The first job of a politician is to get reelected. Never forget that. And you know what? I never forgot it. And we have to remember that. So this year is an election year.
Yes.
And if we have officials that want to be reelected, this is the year to hold them accountable. This is the time to hold them accountable. This is the time to say, will you vote for in the up and coming session? And then hold them accountable to doing that, because that's our problem. We don't do that. We just say, here, do this, or here, vote that way. And we don't do that. Another thing you were when you were talking, Jim, about contacting the politicians years ago, and I think this is spring, I should bring it back again. Okay. What we used to do is send postcards to our elected officials. We did not send letters or emails. We sent postcards. Now, why would we send postcards? Well, you can put a message on the front. So a lot of times we would use the Gadsden flag. And then if you can put one or two sentences on vote for this, do not vote for, sent to Marco Rubio when he was part of the Gang of Eight and thought that amnesty was a great deal. Now he's changed his mind because he sees the results of it. But we used to send him postcards all the time. Vote for E-Verify, stop amnesty, all things like that. Because as the postcard is going to him, guess what, folks? Everybody who sees that postcard gets to read it. And postcards are always passed right through. They, whereas a letter, they have to inspect it. And sometimes it doesn't even get there because they're so busy about a suspicious letter. But if you send a postcard, it goes through immediately. So that is another option of how you can get in contact with your elected official. But we have to form a partnership with our elected officials, especially now, and have them know what it is that motivates us. What is our needs? What do we want? Remember, they are in office to protect us, not the other way around. We're not there to protect them. And it seems as though we are protecting them more than they're protecting us.
Most definitely. Most definitely. I really like your postcard suggestion. It dovetails into my next and maybe my final point, which is make your research publicly available. So once you've researched the topic and once you've identified who the good guys and bad guys are relative to the issue that you're trying to promote, and after you've written up your points of, I think you should vote for this issue because of point one, point two, point three, make it publicly available. Put it on a blog. Blog doesn't cost anything. You can go to wordpress.com and just create a blog there on the fly for free. Post your information there. And then do an email campaign, email different associations who may be sympathetic to your cause and say, hey, check out, click this link and check out my research on why I think politicians should vote this way on a particular issue. And hopefully those groups or associations will like it. And then they will use it in their bag of tricks when they are fighting for whatever issue, fighting for that, for the same issue. And then as they share it, other people will see it and they'll say, oh, that's a good point. I never thought about that. Let me share it with my people and so on and so on and so on. So make your research publicly available. Research it well. Find out who the good guys and bad guys are in relation to your issue. Argue why candidates should vote a certain way. Make that research all publicly available and share it as much as possible so that other people will in turn share it and it becomes from one issue to a major issue.
That, I believe, is the key to success, and that is sharing. Like I said in the beginning, having the knowledge but not applying it and not sharing it with others doesn't mean anything. It's going no place, folks. We, the people, have all of the ability to solve all of these problems, but we're not voicing our opinions. And that's our fault. We have been doing that. Well, you are listening to Karen Schoen. This is the Prism of America's Education, and we are brought to you live on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network with my wonderful sponsor, the Florida Citizens Alliance. And we have been involved in the alliance with getting in touch with many legislators. We have gotten much legislation passed, and we are looking forward to passing more. So please go to the Alliance website. And if you're not in Florida, feel free to copy anything that you see. Jim, thank you so much. This has been absolutely wonderful, and hopefully we'll be back again. But I'll always stand proud and free. I'm American.